Rule number two is this, that the process of brokenness ceases at the point in which it would damage God's great purpose for your life. It ceases at the moment at which it would damage God's great purpose for your life. That is, if God allowed you to be broken and shattered and the pain and suffering be such that it would absolutely destroy God's purpose for your life, then he would have wasted the opportunity and that wouldn't be in God's nature. So there is a limitation to all brokenness, and that limitation is under the control of God. You remember we said the process. He targets the area. He arranges the circumstances. He chooses the tools, and he controls the process. So that the limitation is where my spirit might be broken. The limitation is where God's great purpose might be damaged in some fashion. So, when you think about how God worked in the life of the Apostle Paul, he says he was beaten with rods. Now, you know what? We can't even imagine that. Beaten with rods. God stopped every one of his whippings before he knew that it would kill Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. The times he sat in stocks, his hands and his feet, his back bleeding and stinging and burning from the rods with which he had been beaten. There was always a limitation of time of how long he would be in those stocks. When he was thrown in jail, there's always a time limit as to how long he would stay there. When he was shipwrecked at sea, there was always a time limit that God would let him flounder there in the sea in a great storm. When he was harassed and accused and persecuted, and oftentimes they did their very best to kill, to assassinate the Apostle Paul, always limitations as to what they could do. Surrounded by the grace of God, God's protective care, my friend, God has assembled that same degree of protection around every one of his children so that even in brokenness, there's a limitation. Limited in Paul's life, limited in your life and my life, never to destroy our spirit, never to damage God's great purpose. So when you and I weep, when we cry out, when we say, God, what in the world are you doing? Why are you doing these things to me? We say what Paul is saying here. Lord, I have learned in this period of brokenness to understand that in my weakest, most desperate, helpless moments, that's when I experience the greatest surge of supernatural power and strength and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And someone has put this whole idea in a poem that I want to read to you. And I want you to listen carefully, because what he's written about here is how God puts us in the crucible of fire in order to do something in our life. Listen to this. He sat by a fire of sevenfold heat as he watched by the precious ore. Now, the ore is us, and God's put us in the crucible of heat. He sat by a fire of sevenfold heat as he watched by the precious ore, and closer he bent with a turning gaze as he heated it more and more. He knew that he had ore that could stand the test, and he wanted the finest gold to mold as a crown for the king to wear, set with gems with price untold. So he laid our gold in the burning fire, though we fain would have said nay. And he watched the dross that we said that we had not seen, and melted and passed it away. And the gold grew brighter and yet more bright, but our eyes were filled with tears. We saw but the fire, not the master's hand, and questioned with anxious fears. Yet our gold shone out with a richer glow, as it mirrored a form, Christ, as it mirrored a form above, that bent o'er the fire, though unseen by us, with a look of ineffable love. Can we think that it pleases his loving heart to cause us moments of pain? No, but he saw through the present cross the bliss of eternal gain. So he waited there with a watchful eye, with a love that is strong and sure. And his gold did not suffer a bit more heat than was needed to make it pure.